Once again, I would like to take up the theme of Pope St. John Paul II's Theology of the Body in a series of morning Mass homilies. Don't worry, I won't have the 7 a.m. Mass till next Monday, so it's safe to come back to church in the morning. One of the best ways to understand the theology of the body is through the person of Mother Mary, who serves as a kind of prism of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is the light of the world, which we hear in John chapter 1, verse 9, then no one refracts that light better than Mary, the Mother of God. Or to use John Paul's language, who said, through the fact that the Word became flesh, the body entered theology through the main door. If Jesus' incarnation, taking on flesh, is the main door of theology, then Mary would be the door frame that allows the divine door to swing wide open and thereby invite everyone to eternal life. Let me begin with a story I heard in the seminary that may well be apocryphal, meaning it is of dubious certainty. But as my seminary history professor often said of apocryphal stories, if it's not true, it should be. Many years ago, there was a young bishop who walked around Rome with a rather conspicuous rosary wrapped around his hand. Whether he was leaving Mass or going to a Vatican meeting or sipping cappuccino at a cafe, everyone began to notice the rosary wrapped around his hand. One day, an archbishop asked a young prelate about his holy habit, and the youthful bishop replied, "The rosary around my hand feels as if the Blessed Mother is taking me by the hand and directing me to where I should go." Apparently, that was a very good answer, because the young bishop was soon promoted to archbishop, and then he became cardinal. And in 1978, that cardinal was elected as the Pope and took the name Pope John Paul II. It seems Mary guided that young bishop not only around Rome, but all the way to the seat of St. Peter as the fisherman's 263rd successor. I would like to examine Mary and the theology of the body through the lens of the three major Marian dogmas defined by the Church, namely Mary as the Mother of God, Mary's Immaculate Conception, and Mary's bodily assumption. For historical context, Mary was defined as the Mother of God, or Theotokos in Greek, literally the God-bearer, in the year 431 at the Council of Ephesus. Mary was declared as the Immaculate Conception by Pope Pius IX on December 8th, 1854, in his document Ineffabilis Deus. And finally, Mary was defined as assumed into heaven, body and soul, by Pius XII on November 1st, 1950, with his document Munificentissimus Deus. We can say that the Church also wants to be guided in her walk through history with Mary, who always leads us by the most direct path to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Mary refracts the light of Christ as a perfect prism. Mary is the door frame that allows Christ, the door, to swing wide open, so that all find in Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. In our study of Mary and the theology of the body, I want to use, obviously, Pope St. John Paul II's masterwork called Man and Woman, He Created Them. But I also want to call several insights from Pope Benedict XVI's very little book called Daughter Zion. Daughter Zion. Benedict XVI wrote it in 1977 while serving as the Cardinal Archbishop of Munich and Freising. By the way, the book is only 82 pages long. But don't be fooled by its brevity. It is packed, full of brilliant insights. It is steeped in Scripture. And in no way does it elevate Mary at the expense of Jesus. We should not underestimate its lack of size, though, because of something Mark Twain once said when he wrote a long letter to a friend. See if you can catch his point. He said, "I didn't have time to write you a short letter, so I wrote you a long one instead." In other words, it's easy to have diarrhea of the mouth and be loquacious. It takes real genius to be brief. As Shakespeare taught, brevity is the soul of wit. Now we must note at the outset that John Paul II does not mention Mary very much throughout his treatise on the theology of the body. Indeed, he only explicitly brings her up once during his address on March 24th, 1982, and then in connection with St. Joseph, that is, regarding their virginal marriage. As you know, the Catholic Church maintains that Mary and Joseph were married, but always remained virgins. But that one address that mentions Mary contains within it, like a seed, the central thrust of the entire theology of the body. John Paul writes, "The marriage of Mary with Joseph conceals within itself the mystery of the perfect communion of persons, of man and woman, in the conjugal covenant, and at the same time, the mystery of this singular continence for the kingdom of heaven." In other words, the virginal marriage of Mary and Joseph symbolize the two fundamental vocations to which every Christian is called: either marriage or celibacy. They lived both. But then the Pope gets more particular about Mary, adding, "Mary's divine motherhood is also a superabundant revelation of that fruitfulness in the Holy Spirit to which man submits his spirit when he freely chooses continence in the body, specifically continence for the kingdom of heaven." Now that is a rather dense and difficult statement. And that is precisely what we will unpack in future homilies. Put simply, we might say, when we understand Mary better, we will understand Jesus better. Why? Because no one knows a son as well as his mother. Or as Benedict XVI put it, only when it touches Mary and becomes Mariology is Christology itself as radical as the faith of the Church requires. Or put differently, if we don't get Mary right, we won't get Jesus right. And Pope St. John Paul II always got Mary right. especially in his theology of the body. Praised be Jesus Christ.